continued Sunday our Q&A series where you get to ask the questions. You don't get to stand up and ask them. You send them to me. You either text me at 307-2604 or email them to me at bccbelieverscommunity.org, or you can write them down and put them in Miss Gail's box outside her office there. We have had several questions. We have had several good questions. One of the ones that we're going to be dealing with Sunday morning is, should women keep silent in church as the Bible commands? Loaded. That's a loaded up question. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about, when we were born again, was sin nature eradicated? What is the difference in sin nature and flesh? Good question. I got one that I'm going to have to decipher to see what they're talking about. And it's a good question, but I'm just got to decipher it. And we've had several questions that we've already answered. If you've not been a part of the series and you want to go online and watch it, I think they're all loaded on the internet. But tonight we're going to go to the book of John. We're kind of doing a verse by verse through the book of John. And we're going real slow. I don't have an agenda where this is concerned. I don't have a completion. We're just going to do it like a freight train. You know, you go until you find the unhooking spot. About 8 o'clock, we're going to unhook. And then next Wednesday night will be our communion night. But the week after that, we'll hook back up. I'm going to try to finish the first chapter. We've already been 5 or 6 weeks, and I've got to verse 18, I think. But the reason that I took such a long time with the first few verses is because they are so vital to the Christian faith. The Gospel of John is such a wonderful book, and it helps establish the very foundation of the Christian faith. Who Jesus is in relation to the Father, his role in creation, his pre-existence. There's just so many things that, and we didn't talk about all of them, but there's just so many things in these verses that are so important. And one of the things that John was dealing with was the era of Gnosticism that was beginning to be rampant at that time in the early Christian church. Gnosticism was a horrible lie. And, you know, one thing that the Christian church has always had to deal with is extremes and error and heresy. And the only way I know to deal with it is to stay with what the Scripture teaches. And, you know, I've often, and I think we probably all do this to a degree, but we have a tendency to have our doctrine and we try to shape the Scripture around our doctrine. And I think probably every group is guilty of that a little bit. But what we really ought to strive to do is shape our doctrine and bend our doctrine around the Scripture. If we'll do that and we'll be consistent in doing that, then we'll always be safe and we'll always be on target. And we always have to remember that the very focus, I hate flies, the very focus of the whole Bible is Jesus. You know, you say that's oversimplification, but he is the target of the Bible. He is the centerpiece of the Bible. And there's no book of the Bible that says that any more than the Gospel of John, in that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There is so much in those verses of Scripture. And I don't want to get back into that because I could go through that again and just absolutely love it. We're going to begin with verse 17. And it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I asked this question, was the law true? It is. The law is true. And the law came through Moses, but when Jesus came, he brought the truth, but he brought something else with it that the law didn't have a whole lot of, and that's grace. Grace and truth. See, if you, under the old law, if you were disobedient to the law, there were curses. There were curses, and you, there are certain things that you had to do, or you came under a curse. And how many of you know God don't want to curse us? You believe that? God doesn't want to curse us. God wants to bless us. But listen to this. In order to bring in the blessing, he had to define truth. Because if there is no revelation of truth, there is no consequence. Even though, and the Bible says that talking about death, and it's talking about spiritual death. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Even though there was no law, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And what does that mean? There was no law that said, and we'll put this in modern terms, that 55 is the speed limit. Why is 55 the speed limit? Why is that the law? Because they feel like that is a safe speed to travel. If you go 110, guess what could happen? What is more likely to happen? Death. Okay? So death reigned, even though there was no law to define what was right and wrong. Death still reigned because death was in the heart of Adam and Eve because of the sin, and they were still being destroyed even though it wasn't defined. So the law is brought in to define right and wrong. And then the law brings penalty for wrong, and it makes the whole world become guilty before God so that God can turn around and give us a free gift. Now, the law says if you can keep the law, then you can have the blessing. But it also said if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. I wonder how many of us here have ever told a lie. And one of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not bear false witness. And if we're guilty of lying, we might as well be guilty of the whole thing. And so one of the things that Romans says is that the whole world became guilty before God because of the law. And the whole world was condemned because of the law. And that's why the law was given. The law was not given to bring us into righteousness, because we couldn't keep it. There's no way that any of us could keep it. But the law was given so that God could send his son to fulfill the law and give us the grace, a free gift called righteousness, that we could come to him and he could give us salvation free for us. What did it cost him? It cost the life of his son. That's the gospel. So when it says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace only comes through Jesus Christ. Grace doesn't come any other way. It doesn't come by our good works. It doesn't come by our good intentions. It comes through Jesus Christ. Grace is the gift of God. And that's the wonderful news. In fact, that's the news that we're supposed to be proclaiming, that, you know, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It says he wasn't even imputing their sins against them. He didn't have to. We were already dead in sins. He didn't have to hold sin against us. We were already dead in our sins and trespasses. And we didn't need more condemnation. We didn't need for God to be holding our sins, because we're guilty of the whole thing. What we needed was some good news. And Jesus brought that good news. He brought the news of grace and truth. Now, he didn't just bring grace. See, there's a lot of people that talk about grace. It's grace, grace, grace. Grace is balanced with truth. Because sin will still kill you. Lying will still destroy relationships. Sin. See, Satan comes to do what? We heard it in the testimony the other day. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's why Satan has come. Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Sin will still kill. Lying will kill. Coveting will kill. Murder will kill, won't it? Every time. Adultery will kill. All of those things, not putting God first, will kill. Because our whole life is in our relationship with God. So not only did grace come through Jesus, but the truth did too. And so we have to have a balance of grace and truth in our life if we're going to be successful Christians. Because, you know, there's some people say, well, you know what? I've been saved and it really don't matter how I live. That's not what the gospel teaches. And that's not what most of those churches teach. That's what people want to believe, that their manner of life is of no consequence. But it is. Because you know what? You can become a Christian and you can still live in death. You can still live in death. But when we find the balance of grace and truth, we'll begin to discover what the real life is all about. In fact, truth is summed up. And Jesus said this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. You know what? If you keep those two things, you'll fulfill all the Ten Commandments. If I love you, I'm not gonna try to steal your stuff, and I won't want your car. I won't want your wife. You know, I don't want to kill you. If I really love you, and really if I love God, that takes care of that. Okay, let's go on, because I could get caught way up in that. And we're going to talk about John the Baptist tonight. Anybody like John the Baptist? Remember we talked about the one that, and I thought it's kind of neat that, you know, God, when he introduced Jesus into the world, he didn't find a public relations company to market the birth of his son. He didn't use slick advertisement. He didn't use the mass media. He raised up this preacher who lived out in the wilderness, dressed in camel hair, and he ate bugs and honey to announce the birth of his. I mean, it was, you know, if you looked at it from the PR side of it, it was doomed to be a failure. If Jesus was going to come and make an impact in the world and be introduced by a bug eating, wild, I bet his hair was matted, and you know they thought he was a crazy man. And he's the one that God picked to introduce his son into the world. It had to be God. It had to be God. That's the only way that it could work. So he's going to talk about John the Baptist. Verse 19, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? They didn't know who he was. Who is this crazy preacher? You know, he probably looked wilder than some of these TV preachers that we see on TV, you know, with the hair all out to the side and, you know, the makeup. I better not get into that. I'll get on your favorite preacher and you'll be mad at me. He says, who are you? Camel hair. Bug juice in your teeth and eating wild honey. Who are you? And I love the way that he responded. And I think we're going to see something here. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Are you the prophet? Now notice it says the prophet. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He says, I am. He didn't say John the Baptist. You know what? He didn't tell him his name. You know why? Who he was not important. And I think there's a great lesson that we can learn here. Because, you know, if we're not careful as Christians, and especially preachers, we want people to know who we are. Who you are. I'm David Ensel. I pastor Believers Community Church. I'm proud of that. I am proud that I pastor this church. I mean, you are my family. I love you guys. I'm glad to be able to lead this church. And I could say, I am the senior. I'm not the junior pastor. I'm not the associate. I am the potentate, senior pastor of Believers Community Church. I crack myself up sometimes. Okay. But he didn't say, I'm John the Baptist. You know what he says? He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Didn't tell him his name because that wasn't important. I'm just a voice. I'm out here in the wilderness, and here's my message. Make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said. Wow. Now, I want to share a scripture with you. And it's found in Luke chapter 7. In verse 24. Now, you know who John the Baptist was? He was Jesus' cousin. I don't know if you knew that or not, but he was Jesus' cousin. In fact, if you go back and you read about, you know, his conception and how the angel came and you know, told his dad who he was, what his name was going to be. And, you know, they tried to name him after his dad. And his dad says his name shall be John. But the Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And I don't know of anybody else, there may be, of anybody else in Scripture that had ever said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And he was raised up, as far as we can tell, for one reason only, one purpose. He was not a multitask guy. He had one purpose in life. And his message was, make his path straight. And the thought behind that was because his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. We're going to make his path straight. We're making a path for the Lord to come in. And here's the message. You're going to have to change the way that you think. Because when we think about the word repent, we think about, you know, being sorry for our sin. That may be part of it. But if all you are is sorry for your sin and you don't change anything, you just repeat what you've done. What he is saying is you're going to have to change the way that you think, because there's fixing to come a new order of things. And if you don't change the way that you think, if you don't repent and repent of your sins, you're going to miss the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's huge. That was his message. That's the only message that he preached. He preached and he baptized. He preached and he baptized. As far as we know, this is the first instance in Scripture that people were baptized. Okay? But listen to what Jesus said when they asked him about John the Baptist. Luke 7:24, when the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. This is what Jesus said about him. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what do you see? What do you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." And you know why? I think there's several reasons that he said that. But one reason that I think that he said that was because that John knew what his purpose was. He was committed to his purpose. And it wasn't about who he was. It's about who he was to introduce. And, you know, and I think one thing that we need to make important as a church, what can be our takeaway from this, where a church is concerned, not just where I'm concerned? You know what I see for me in this? That it's not as important that people know who I am as it is as important of who we preach about. It's not so important they know who pastors this church. I hope you notice my name's not out on the board out there. Long time ago it was, but we took it off. It's not important because hopefully people are not coming here to hear me. Hopefully they're coming here to find the Lord. Amen. See, one testimony that we've had, and we've had this for years, we've prayed this prayer. Lord, as people drive down the road, and this even worked over in the other building where hardly anybody ever drove by. I mean, this worked over there. Lord, as people drive by and they see our sign, speak to their hearts and draw them in. And we would have people pull in our parking lot, and they would say, "You know what? I was just driving by the other day, and just something spoke to my heart and just drew me here." We've prayed that a long time, and we have that happen out here quite often. That people drive by and say, "You know what? I drove by that sign for months. And every time I'd go by, something was just pulling me to come in there." Well, it wasn't me out there pulling them. And I don't believe if we didn't have our attitudes right, and I believe that we must keep our attitudes right, and if we will keep our attitudes right, I believe that God will continue to draw people in. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But I think that God is going to speak to people who drive by. And you know, there's about, I think statistics say that there's about 10,000 cars that go by the church every day. 10,000 people. You know how many people live in Batesville? About 10,000. You know how many people live in the county? About 36,000. You know what that tells me? That a third of the county drives by our church every day. Okay? Now, I don't get to talk to that many people. I don't see that many people in the day. But that many people drive by and see our sign in our church every day. And one thing that I'm trusting is that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to them and draw the ones that He wants to draw them in. And I believe that as we go out and do the things that we strategically do as an outreach church. Our name used to be, it really is legally still this, we're Believers Community Church. Now we used to be Believers Outreach Center Church Incorporated. That's a mouthful. We used to call ourselves BOC. Now we're BCC. But outreach, we do strategic outreach. And we do it through our life groups. And we do it other ways. We do crazy things like go wash cars for free and all of that. But I believe that as we do those things, that we're going to touch people directly. But one thing that I do believe that is people go up and down the highway, if we'll keep our hearts where they be, and it's not they're, you know, that we're trying to be the biggest church in town and we're trying to be, you know, the most popular church in town. And, you know, it's, you know, super pastor and, you know, super Christians. I just want to be a hospital where hurting people can come and be healed. I want people healed in their bodies, their minds, and their spirits. More than anything else, I want God to draw heathens into this house. I want this to be a heathen-friendly church. Because a bunch of you were heathens not long ago. And somebody loved you, and somebody invited you. And many of you have come through these doors and you found Christ in this room right here. I don't know how many we baptized this year. I don't count. Maybe we should. I hope God keeps a count, because I want a reward for every one of them, don't you? I do. I want rewards. But I think if we'll keep our heart right, that God will draw the people in that needs to. And we need to have this same attitude about that John the Baptist did. It's not important who I am. It's important what our message is. And our message is Jesus. It's to make a straight path that people can find God. It's not about religion. It's not about denomination. It's not about non-denomination. It's not about believers. You know what? If we can get people saved and they go to Compass Church, or they go to First Assembly, or they go to First Baptist, I wish everybody'd come here. But that's not going to happen. But if we can get them saved and they get in church and planted somewhere where they can grow, praise God. It's not about believers. It's about the kingdom, isn't it? And you know, John was a kingdom man. He was a kingdom man. He said, we're going to make his path straight. It's not about the John the Baptist Memorial Church. It's about the Jesus Church. It's about make his path straight. So Jesus really bragged on him. He says, you know, a man born of women, there's not been a greater one than John the Baptist. Then he goes on to say in something that applies to you. Are you ready for this? This applies to you. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Okay, let's go back to John chapter 1. Now those who were sent, verse 24, were from the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the lawyers of the word. Have you ever been around lawyers of the word? Have you ever been around people that were black and white and legalistic and they dotted every I and crossed every T and everything had to be just? That's what the Pharisees were kind of about. We would call them I better not. They would be a very legalistic church today. Some of you were raised in legalistic churches. I wasn't. I was raised United Methodist, so we weren't legalistic at all. But these were the very legalistic. They were looking for things to find wrong. They were looking, I won't say that again, they were looking to find things wrong. You know what Pharisees do? They're always looking for the negative, never for the positive. They're always picking, pick, 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 pick. They don't see the best in people. They see the worst in people. I don't think you can build a great church looking for the worst in people. Now, I'm good at that. I'm really good judge. I don't always judge right, but I can judge. Is anybody else that way? I come I better be careful. I come from a family that knows how to judge. So I'm good at that. I'm trying to get good at not doing it. And if you want to pick, you can pick at people, you can pick at churches, you can pick at, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Pharisee. Instead of trying to find something wrong, let's try to find something right. Let's try to find something good about people. You know, I'm probably one of the most imperfect people in this room. And it's very easy to see my faults. And if you want to pick at me, you can. I don't like it. But you can. But you're a Pharisee if you do. See, I say, people say to me, Pastor, don't judge me. What? Don't judge me. You know, have you ever been into a church you felt like you were judged? Now, we have to preach the truth, okay? Man, if I preach the truth and it gets on your toes, God bless you. Change. If I preach my opinion and it gets on your toes, you don't have to do anything. I don't apologize for hurting your feelings with the word. I don't try to pick at you. We try to give people room to grow. We got folks in every kind of spiritual condition that you can imagine in this church. We have unsaved people. We got people that's been saved a long time. We got brand new Christians. We got searchers and people looking and checking out and all that. And we say, hey, check us out. Check us out as long as you want to. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit bring the conviction in your life that needs to take place. And we don't need to try to play Holy Spirit. It's my job to tell you what the truth is. It's your job to find out what you're going to do with it. Okay? There are consequences if you make dumb decisions. How many of you know that Christians make dumb decisions sometimes? I'm on a bunny trail, aren't I? But somebody needs to hear this. Okay. Help me, Jesus. Get back on track here. I got about 8 minutes. Then I'm going to have to unhook the train. But these were the Pharisees. They were always looking for something wrong. And one thing I do know, if you look, you will always find something wrong. This is not a perfect church. I don't want to be a perfect church. Because if this was a perfect church, I would have to be a perfect person. And I'm not. And I would have to expect you to be perfect, and you're not. So why cannot we just be people who love God, who are striving towards a goal, and love each other, and be willing to put up with some nutty people? Yeah, like you. And like me. I didn't say that, did I? You know what? We're all a little weird. Have you ever noticed that about people? We're all just a little weird. And you know, I hear people say all the time, I don't want to be around Eric. He's weird. Well, you're weird too. Let's put up with his weird if he'll put up with our weird. We're all a little weird. Well, I tell you, old so-and-so, they just, you know, they got funny ideas. Well, you got funny ideas, too. You don't believe all the... The Lord cut me off, didn't he? You don't believe all the Bible. You say you do, but you don't. You don't understand it all. You got some things that are probably not right. You know, give some folk a break. As long as they're not causing trouble... Let's don't be Pharisees. Let's don't be judges. Let's be lovers of the truth. Let's be seekers of the truth. Let's try to wrap our hearts around the Word of God and not be Pharisees and legalistic and picking people apart. Peck, 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 like a bunch of chickens. Okay, I'm moving on this time. I promise. And they ask him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or one of the prophets? See, they're picking. They're trying to find something wrong with John the Baptist. John answered them saying, now notice what he does. He's slick. John the Baptist is slick. He says, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He might have been standing in that crowd at that time. I don't know. He said, there's one standing among you whom you don't know. He's not been revealed yet. It is he coming after me, is prepared before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. You know what? He's turning the attention off of himself And he's going to shine it right back where it belongs, where his message is concerned. And he's going to point it right back to Jesus. See, sometimes people try to make things about you, and we need to make it about Jesus. Why is Believer such a great church? I tell you really what it is. We have a wonderful Lord. Amen. We have a wonderful Lord. Why are you such a wonderful preacher? Oh, quit it. You just want a raise. No, it's God. It's not us, it's God. Okay? That's John the Baptist's secret. He says, I'm not worthy to tie the strap on his sandal. These things were done in Bethany, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, moment of purpose, moment of truth. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the best message he ever preached right there. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Wow. I mean, John is at his best right here. And I have seen and testified, this is the Son of God. He is preaching his message. You know what he's doing? He's making the path straight. All of those messages, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn, change the way that you think. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's he doing right here? He is announcing the kingdom of heaven right here. He says, this is him. This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is he changing the order? Yeah. Going from that legalistic system, he says, now we're going to come into a thing of grace and truth. And here it is. It's in this one. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He preached that message twice. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, that's interesting. You know what they did? They were following John. They left John, and they started following Jesus. You know what? John didn't get mad. Well, Jesus took two of my disciples away. I trained them. I raised them up. I poured the word of God into them. And they leave me and they follow Jesus. Well, isn't that what we're supposed to do? You know, there'll be some people that get saved in our church, and we'll train them and we'll raise them up, and they'll go out of here and they'll do good things for Jesus. Well, why didn't they stay here and help us? Wah, 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 wah. Well, maybe Jesus let them out. And I think that's great about John. It did not bother him. In fact, later John will make the statement. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. There's a great spiritual lesson here, folks. You know what? Before you come to Christ, it's all of you and none of Christ. You come to Christ and it's some of you and some of him. You know where we need to get to? That it's none of us and all of him. I don't know about you, but most of us are not there yet. We still like for some of it to be about us. We still like the praise. We still like a little bit of the glory. We still like the accolades. We still like to hear our names called, don't we? What would happen, do you think? What do you think God could do with the church that if it didn't matter who got the credit for getting something accomplished? What do you think could happen? If we had the John the Baptist attitude is, you know, well, I trained them up in children's church and now they're going to work in youth. We're not in competition, are we? If we raise them up and Jeff Cox hires them to do something at first, I beat him up, I'll tell you. No, we should be happy about that. If Jesus is being glorified and the kingdom's being built. I don't know if I'm there yet or not, folks. But I want to be. I want to be a kingdom church. Now, I want to say that right. Okay? I want to be a church that's about the kingdom. That's what I want to be, a church that's about the kingdom. And, you know, and I believe this, that if we'll have that mindset, that it's not about our four walls and our name and all of that, and we'll help other churches, and we're going to help a church in Newark. We're going to help a United Methodist Church in Newark with some stuff coming up. That's going to be a project that we're going to do. He's trying to move his church in a positive direction. We're going to do everything we can to help him. Methodist? What do you mean? Help a Methodist church? Well, you know, last time I checked, Methodist is a Christian church. This guy's a Christian. Their pastor's a Christian because I've met with him and talked with him. He has a heart to do something in that town. We're going to help him. You know what? I think if we'll adopt that attitude, God will bless this church and it'll grow. And we'll have all the helpers that we need and we'll have all the people that we can train. And we'll probably send people to other countries someday. I just silly enough to believe that, I guess. But John the Baptist was that way. That's what he was all about. He was all about Jesus. He was all about the kingdom. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about getting his name out there, passing out his business card, bring me in for a meeting. You know, it wasn't about that. It was about that. And his disciples left him and went with Jesus. And he says, I got to decrease so that he can increase. And you know what he did? He died. Okay, let's see if we got, it's five after. Let's quit right there. Let's pray. Father, give us a heart tonight that we can have the same attitude that John the Baptist did, where we're not trying to touch your glory, where we're not trying to get credit for the things that you are and the things that you want to do, that our greatest joy is decrease so that you can increase. Teach us that lesson. Teach us to have that same spirit. Teach us to be very clear in our message, to make straight the path so that people can find the Lord. And help us to keep Jesus at the center of everything that we do. We thank you and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, how about inviting somebody to church Sunday? 9 o'clock or 10:45, either service. We need some folks to help fill up this first service. You know, our second service is just about full. We need some folks in our first service. So we, you know, God is up to something, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Thank you for being here tonight. Invite somebody to church. You're dismissed.